Hi, welcome to Outrageous, our bi-weekly podcast where we talk about race, media, culture, politics, and everything in between. This is our special debate episode. My name is Chris. I'm in New York City, and I'm joined by my two very best friends, Trisha in LA.
Hello.
And Jason in DC.
What's up?
So let's just get to it, guys. The first presidential debate was last night for us, probably 2 days ago by the time everyone hears this. Trump and Clinton faced off. I have initial impressions, but I have been dying to hear what you two thought about it. So, Jason, what was your initial impression? Who won?
When I first finished watching it, I didn't feel like it was likely that either one of them attracted new voters. But I thought that Trump was his typical idiotic self. And I thought that Hillary, all things considered, did a very good job.
What does that even mean?
That was very facile, what you said.
Yeah, what do you say?
I mean, what does that mean?
Okay. Yeah, what do you mean? All things considered, what does that mean?
I think there were lots of places where she could have messed up. I thought there were places where he was a total asshole and she kept her composure. She kept a pretty, I thought she struck a really good balance of, you know, getting her points out there, being assertive. But then when it came to, his barbs and the stuff he was throwing at her, as well as tough questions from Lester Holt, I thought she was able to keep a somewhat appropriately lighthearted approach. So I thought she handled it really, really well. I thought it was skillful. I think we've seen her in public respond to some of the same questions in the same kinds of situations in ways that were much less appealing.
This is interesting to hear from you. Did you for a minute think that Hillary Clinton would not be composed and deliver exactly what she delivers? I mean, for me, the debate wasn't really a revelation. I think Hillary Clinton has a uphill battle to win voters, but Donald Trump sheds them. So all she had to do was stay the course, which she did. And I thought she was very masterful in the debate of getting her points across, explaining her policy, and then lobbing like a barb at Donald Trump, knowing that he'd be unable to stop himself from jumping all over it and ignoring the question, which I thought was fantastic. And by the end, she was just doing it almost gleefully because he didn't even notice. He did come off looking like a jerk. And again, he's the one who has got voters to lose. I don't think Hillary Clinton won any voters. I think Trump lost them.
How do you know that, though?
I think she won.
How do you know she won? Can I just ask, though, how do you know he lost voters?
Yeah, I mean,
to lose voters. Because so much of Trump, this is Trump, right? He's a media creation, right? So the moment that he goes left on the media creation, the moment it's no longer appealing, you're not into it anymore. Because it's not about his policies. There's nothing intellectual about it. It's just does this appeal to me right now? He looked like a blithering idiot last night. And that there was some small segment of the population who's going to be oh, this was fun, but now absolutely not. And they're out.
I hope you're right. I see no evidence of that, but I hope you're right.
What do you mean you see no evidence of that?
Well, I just think he's an asshole the whole campaign. And Trisha, you said he sheds voters? He's never shed voters.
Trisha, what did you think before we get to Jason?
Well, I thought that actually he started out very strong. I thought that for a good 40 minutes, maybe 35, 40 minutes, Donald Trump was actually holding his own in terms of the arenas that I think that he feels most comfortable. And he actually had a lot of energy and was really animated when he was talking about the economy, when he talks about jobs. It just felt like he was on much surer footing. And a lot of his digs with her really resonated there. So I was actually a little bit nervous in that section because I thought he was performing well there. I think over time, though, he just sort of lost focus and the air just kind of went out of his presentation. And it just became very clear that he didn't know much about anything else outside of his purview, outside of what he normally calls the thing that he does.
He didn't know anything. He just,
but it doesn't matter though. I mean, I think the presumption that first and foremost, how can you even talk about the fact that Donald Trump doesn't know anything and he's here? I mean, clearly that's not the barometer that you have to use to evaluate him, right?
Yeah, I'm sure Hillary Clinton thought that more than once. I kept watching her being she's probably thinking, I've been doing this for years. I was a senator and I'm up here debating the equivalent of Ryan Seacrest. He's an entertainment personality and she's got to be put through paces to get this job through this guy. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that the thing though is that the debate is not really, it's not for people who are, I mean, the most informed. At this juncture, any, especially for the undecided. For the undecided, I have no idea what they're looking for. But I think the presumption that people are looking to be convinced in this sort of thoughtful way because Donald Trump is going to somehow reveal his smartness. I mean, I don't even know if that's even a part of the space. And that's why I've found that tact of analyzing the debate really weird. Because obviously she's more confident than he is. Obviously she has more knowledge than he is. But that's not enough. So we're here still, right? So it felt to me that, I mean, I think he performed poorly, but at the same time, it could have been far worse. He stumbled 40 minutes in and continued stumbling. But for a good 30 minutes, he was holding his own. Whether he was talking truth or not, that doesn't really matter. It's just how composed he was when he was making his presentations about why he as a businessman is better and why businesses are leaving the country and what he understands about a businessman's mentality. I mean, a lot of those things I think would resonate with his group. I'm not as celebratory as most people are. I think he was humiliated in many moments, but not overwhelmingly so.
I agree with that. I think that's right.
No,
I yeah, and again, I really sincerely hope you're right, Chris, that he'll shed voters. I just think there have been so many moments beginning at the very beginning of the primary. Yeah,
which is Jason's point all along.
every analyst was like, oh, he's going to lose people. He's only gained from day one to the present. And I hope he starts losing now. I really sincerely do. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, some polls that hopefully will say that.
Or he just might seize the presidency.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll seize the presidency, but
I mean, now he started complaining that his mic wasn't working.
Yeah, well, when I think they should have turned. He said he had a bad mic. Like, oh my goodness!
It's just I don't think he's well. Do you know? Not only did he lie during it, because we all knew that was coming. He said he didn't say things which he most certainly said. But then during the debate, he says that not paying taxes makes him smart.
Right.
Then an hour later, he said he didn't say that.
Did he contradict that part an hour later?
An hour later, he said that he had not said that. And I don't know what to do with that. Like, do his voters, I mean, do his followers, does that affect them at all? The fact that, and also during the debate, he, you know, Hillary Clinton's attacks on him say that he doesn't have the temperament to be president. And then, you know, he satisfied us all by telling us that he does actually have the temperament.
He has a very good temperament.
He has a very good temperament. And it's probably better than yours.
He has the best
that out there. And that, you know, and her whole thing is like a man who could be provoked by a tweet should not have the nuclear codes. Meanwhile, during the debate twice, he admitted that he does things without thinking about them. Because when Lester Holt went after him about the Iraq war, like you said, you were for it. He shouted Lester down and said, no, that's not true. Lester Holt's like, really? I have a quote. And then he's like, well, I was on Howard Stern and he asked me and I just said something.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, that's the point. Like, that's the point. You're not very good at this, are you?
Right.
Not? And that's
the point though. But that's the point of that's his fan base. Mm-hmm. His fan base, all the things that you've raised in critique are the reasons why his fans like him. So in some ways, it's just he's just staying on script. You know, I mean, it's like he's off the cuff. He's irreverent. He says what he wants to say. He's not, you know, I mean, he's not some sort of like politician that's just saying what they need to say in the moment, which I thought was a couple good digs that he got in on Hillary about that he knows where her genuine feelings are, which, you know what, let's be honest, they've had dinner together, so why wouldn't he know that about her? You know, so, you know, I thought that there were moments where he I think he attacked some of the elements that are her challenges. The fact that she's people perceive her as insincere, and that she is she's changed, she's a chameleon, and you actually don't know what you're really going to get from her. I think he was able to make those points.
Well, and that's why I think she deserves a lot of credit, because, you know, that we've seen many times when reporters ask questions about emails, whatever, and there are things that she thinks are not worthy of the level of scrutiny she's getting. She can get a little dismissive. Sarcastic, dismissive, and I mean, I thought it was very impressive last night. The stupid shit that he was throwing at her, most normal people would have lost it, to whether that was getting sarcastic or whatever, and she didn't. And I think that's to her credit. And I put that together with the fact that she did that, whatever, 11 hours in front of the Benghazi committee. I mean, it's for him to say she doesn't have the stamina or the temperament. I mean, she is a soldier. I think she deserves a lot of credit for that. I thought it was
she was cold as ice, and I loved it.
You thought she was cold as ice?
I thought she was very efficient and very effective. I mean, at no point in time did I feel Hillary Clinton was warm, but I don't need that in my politician. I'm not that sort. But I thought she handled him very well. You know, I thought that she was not aloof like people normally accuse her of, but she just looked like she was very prepared and very much aware of what was going to come at her. And I think the funny thing was when he decided midway through, or I guess towards the end, that, you know, I thought I was going to say something about her like a child.
Oh, my God. And then I decided you're so presidential that you held your fucking tongue one time. Oh, my God.
It wasn't even like he held his tongue about, like, I mean, he didn't hold his tongue about policy, which he barely cares about. He held this thing about a personal issue. Like, I didn't mention the affair. That's what I was gonna do, but I didn't.
I know. Look at me. I'm so presidential. I have the best temperament. How many times? This is one thing I don't get. I just don't understand. I mean, I guess it's part of his marketing. At least I didn't count, but like many, many times last night, he said the sentence, and I'm very proud of it. He would say, like, some accomplishment. I built a club that doesn't discriminate based on race, and I'm very proud of it. That to me is so unappealing. Like, for you to just stand up there and tell me how proud you are of all the shit you've done. He's like a kindergartner. Like,
The whole thing is so I. Everything about it was so I based.
It's all he is.
So I based. I mean, I think that's when he was at his best, when he could talk about whatever he thought was good at his business, and so he could sort of pronounce these things and give situations or give examples. But that was it. I mean, the rest of it were sort of personal slights, like the Rosie O'Donnell mention, which was odd.
Okay. Which, by the way,
like, what? I didn't know what that was about.
The things he said about her are so terrible, regardless of whatever he feels about her. But second of all, he basically tried to claim that all of the misogyny he's basically was saying, like, okay, I've been a misogynist towards Rosie O'Donnell, but that's it. Like, it's like, A, that's
not
acceptable. But it
also claimed that she deserved it and that everyone accepted that that was what she deserved.
Well, did you notice that he said everyone deserved it? He said Barack Obama deserved to have his birth certificate asked for and requested by him. And he was very smug about that. I mean, I don't know any person of color who listened to that moment and was like, yeah, this guy I'm voting for. I mean, I need to meet those people.
And it's
because
crazy.
That was like, that encapsulated everything. And then that, there's also another moment where Hillary was talking about the black, you know, the black community. And he essentially rolled his eyes when she was like, it's not all bad there. Like, what? Black people have other things to offer? What? You know what I mean?
Well, he said, you walk down the street in a black community, you get shot. Like, first of all, how many black community streets has he walked down? And like, it's just ridiculous.
Well, that's not the point. He's just, I mean.
But then when Hillary challenged that and she was going into things that were happening in the communities that were good and bad, he started rolling his eyes like, oh, vibrancy? What do you mean vibrancy? You know, he just didn't care. I mean, it was such a weird thing to watch somebody who didn't seem to care about anyone else but himself. Like, he wasn't talking about a country. He wasn't talking about people. He wasn't talking about bringing groups of people together. No, it was like listening to Charlie Sheen explain why he wants to make sure everyone wins, you know, like, and what winning would mean. It's just very weird.
All right. So there's two more presidential debates coming up. Will you guys watch it?
Yes.
I'll watch the last one because I think the second one is kind of
a town hall one.
Yeah, that's better for him, actually. I think
the town hall.
Yeah, it's an audience. It's, you know, he'll just sort of riff on things. You know, he doesn't have to kind of. That's just good. I think that's going to be much more his vibe. So I think he'll do better, and I think he'll prepare. But I think I need to see the third because Jason, you brought that up, or I think it might have been you, Chris, that said, you know, people vote on the very last thing they remember.
Yeah.
So I would like to watch the last one just to see what's the lasting impression that we're getting.
I'm also And this is not usually the case. I'm interested to see the vice presidential debate. I actually think.
Really? I don't even care.
You know what,
though? I think it's more important. I actually think it's more important.
Very important this time more than ever before. I'm very interested to see it because I am very concerned. I mean, if Trump wins, there's every indication that the vice president will actually be running the country.
Yep.
I think it's really important. So I've never cared about those before, but like this time I'm really interested.
You never cared about it when Biden was debating Palin?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did watch that.
No, I watched that shit show.
Well, because that was the same thing. It was like performance art. I actually think this debate is actually about two people who are going to have to stick to issues. I mean, that's really, that's one of the things that I thought about when I was watching this debate and why I think it's really wonderful that Hillary went through it so well, because it was less of a debate and more about her sort of containing an animal. You know, like that's what you're doing, right? Like she couldn't even really debate him because he wasn't even able to be in the same room with her. He didn't mention any players that she was talking about. He didn't understand the role of NATO. I mean, it was so interesting to watch her actively define treaties. I mean, like, what a treaty means.
You know what I mean?
Like, because he had no idea. And to actually name leaders, she was name checking leaders, and I knew he couldn't name them himself. So that wasn't really a debate. It's not an exchange of ideas. It's not like policy statements. She just had to contain him and communicate to the American public. And she managed to do that pretty well. But yeah, I was actually, as soon as they said the VP, I was like, this one I probably need to watch, because I do think that Pence, I don't know much about Pence. And he's apparently scarier than Trump is, because at least his is organized.
He believes in bad shit. He's not just a marketer.
In wrapping this up, I just want to I'm sick to death of talking about Donald Trump. That's all I wanted to say.
Don't you love his reveal, though? Hasn't he been revealing people to you? He's been revealing a lot of people.
Absolutely. But politically, it's just that having to talk about him in these tones is just really grating on my soul. Hillary Clinton, like her or hate her, she's a politician. And I've said this before, he's an ass clown. Like the fact that he's up there and Hillary Clinton has to stand across from this man and deal with this, we're going to be a laughing stock. I really hope that when she wins, like, this period falls into history as like an anomaly, and that we don't have to deal with this every year, and we don't have to deal with Ryan Seacrest versus Kanye West in 2016 or 2020. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, God, I don't know. I mean, it's rare to think of that. Things rarely seem like anomalies anymore, do they? Yeah. They kind of suggest the beginning of something, or the end game of something, or the middle run of something. So I don't know. I doubt that, actually.
I mean, he has opened a door. I mean, he has proven that someone with no political experience, who's a TV personality, can become a nominee. I mean, you know, they keep comparing the debate to Reagan versus Carter. I keep hearing that because people thought Reagan wasn't that smart and he was a loose cannon. Reagan had been governor of California for 2 terms and they thought he wasn't experienced enough. Here we have this guy who's a friggin' television personality. So I do hope this is the last gasp of some of the, like, big movements for racism
Well, it won't be the last one, but I do hope it's the last time that they're given this kind of credence in the public sphere. I do hope that the media takes a long, hard look at themselves, and journalists remind themselves why they want to get into this. I think some of the shift we've seen in the past month with the coverage, the New York Times and a couple of other papers are now explicitly listing, like,
They talk about
what Donald Trump says. Then at the end, they'll be like, you know, it should be noted that everything that Donald Trump said in the speech that we've been discussing has been a lie. Like, none of it makes any sense, and it is not true. And I think the media will shift after this, so this sort of thing can't happen again. He is, you know, for conservative people who spend a lot of time in church, I can't believe they don't recognize the Antichrist. Like, this is very much what they're always talking about, isn't it?
How could they? They already labeled Obama the Antichrist. You can have two back to back.
Honey, Antichrist 2016.
No comment. No comment.
Well, listen. Oh,
and on that note, we're going to sign off. And everyone, please listen to us on Monday when we release a new episode. Until then, bye, everybody.
Bye.